It's a great pleasure this morning to introduce Dr. Padmini Murthy. Thank you.
Like a groupies for each other.
Dr. Padmini Murthy is a physician and an activist. She has been the recipient of several awards. She's the NGO co-representative of MWIA to the United Nations. Her book, Women's Health, Global Health and Human Rights, was published in 2009. If you haven't seen it, I would strongly recommend it. Murthy is the recipient of the 2009 Mid-Career Award, which is awarded by the International Health Section. She serves as APA Chair on Women's Rights and Governing Counselor in the International Health Section. That is a very small appetizer for you this morning. Dr. Murthy.
Thank you, Dr. Sankaran. And just to follow up to what Dr. Sankaran said is that I was focusing on global actions to improve indicators, especially with a focus on MDG 5. The reason I am talking about MDG 5 is, and again, because unfortunately still almost 300,000 women die each year in childbirth, which is unacceptable. I'm not saying it as a woman, as a mother, but just as a concerned, global citizen, like all of us sitting here are. And, I have no disclosures, financial or otherwise. So the objectives of my presentation in the next 15 minutes, 14 minutes and 30 seconds, will discuss the challenges and triumphs associated with MDG 5 from 2000 to the present, and a focus on the role of mHealth or eHealth, which is really going by leaps and bounds, including the use of cell phone technology, because in case you don't know, the latest report says we have almost 6 billion cell phone users in the world, and most of the cell phone users are in our developing countries. So this is a great way, like when I go to India, I'm surprised, like the guy who delivers milk for my mom has a cell phone. So she just calls him on the cell phone. And then if she wants something extra, if she has visitors, everybody has a cell phone. So we need to use that not to talk about what some movie star is doing, but how we can help improve the health of others. So it kind of ties into what Dr. Sankaran said, is like you're thinking locally but having a global impact. And also, it will highlight the role of MDG 3, which is to, advance women's gender empowerment in improving maternal health globally. So one of the things, I really like this quote by Paul Hunt, the former UN Special Rapporteur on the right to highest attainable standard of health. He said, it's time to recognize that avoidable maternal health is a human rights problem on a massive scale. So public health and human rights often go hand in hand, but as all of us sitting here know, that many times human rights of people are compromised, especially those who are disenfranchised. And again, we are not here on a male bashing platform. I have several male colleagues and friends, and I'm married to the same guy for the past 26 years. I think I need the purple heart for that. All of us here sitting here do, as Kathy, my friend and mentor. But seriously, folks, unfortunately, women are disenfranchised. And when they live in low socioeconomic conditions, it just gets worse. So that is what I want to, drive home. So one of the things I just wanted to talk about is the targets and indicators. So as we know, I just want to focus on two things here. That is, reduced by 3/4 between 1990 and 2015, the maternal mortality ratio, and also the unmet need for family planning. All the others are kind of pretty self-explanatory, but this is 2013. We are 1 month away from the year ending of 2013. That means we are less than 1,000 days away from the countdown to the MDGs. And then we go on to the post-2015 agenda and the sustainable development. But even today as we speak, there are on record 300,000 women almost. But I'm sure it's much more, because we don't have the medical audit. We don't have the records. So we really don't know how many women are dying in childbirth, and it's not been recorded that the cause of death is maternal mortality. So that's something we need to be thinking about. And the other big issue is we have the unmet need for family planning. A couple of years ago, I was working in the UNFPA, which is the largest purchaser of condoms, that is the United Nations Population Fund. I don't know why they name it UNFPA. It should be PFA, but who knows? It's an acronym which is kind of a little weird. But the institution is not weird, because one of the things is the biggest challenge is whenever political policies change, it affects the contraceptive need for women, the access to contraceptives. So that's something we need to be thinking about. So when we think of, you know, either think globally, act locally, or vice versa, we need to be thinking about how the policies are really kind of impacting global health there. And some of the challenges we face are the deprivation of women's rights in many societies. For so many of you have got your hands dirty working in the field, as so many of my esteemed colleagues sitting here. And when I was working in the Middle East many years ago, is a woman needed to take her husband's permission to get contraception, a script, a prescription for contraceptives. So that is a deprivation of women's rights. So this really increases maternal mortality. And also, with maternal mortality, maternal morbidity, it also affects MDG4, which is infant mortality and morbidity, because one of the main caregivers of the infant is the mother. So these are some of the issues we need to be thinking about. And the other biggest challenge we have is, you know, we have lack of access and skilled birth attendants, because Dean Rosenfield, the former late Dr. Rosenfield, was really a pioneer in promoting maternal health. And if you haven't checked out his article, Where is the M in MCH, please read it. It is a timeless piece. One of the things is, like, there are massive shortages of health workers. Why do you think there are massive shortages? One of the reasons is the brain drain, lack of safety. And a lot of these health workers, if they're women, they themselves may die, either as a result of some terrorist attack or in childbirth. So it's all interrelated. And EMOC, lack of emergency obstetric care, is a major issue. And I think Dr. Barakocha will talk later. You know, Malawi, you were in Malawi, and I'm working on a project with the former First Lady and the current President of Malawi. One of the things is they are like almost just 16 physicians or something for the whole for the whole country. So these are some issues which are major problems. And then the lack of specific healthcare policies that are favorable to promote women's health. This is another major issue we have. So again, it ties in, people are not acting locally to improve the global indicators. Okay, and then unsafe abortion. We have a major issue with unsafe abortion because of so many, you know, laws and restrictions. And I remember when I was a resident training many years ago, a woman came in septic shock because she had used a coat hanger to try to abort the products of conception, so because she did not have access. So this is a major issue. And in many countries, women are treated as chattel or movable property. And this is scary, like all these countries listed here, they account for 65% of all global maternal deaths. 65%. And it's only 11 countries. And some of these countries do have the resources. Like some of the richest people live in India and Nigeria, you know, who can even like, they have gold toilets, I'm kidding you not, and gold faucets. So to me, it's like ridiculous that these countries still have such a high maternal mortality rate. HIV/AIDS, as we know, and chronic and infectious diseases. Like when Dr. Gopal Sankaran was talking about, in I think the penultimate slide, Gopal, you talked about cardiovascular disease. This is a major complication. It's just not in the rich countries, but countries all over. So a woman, especially developing country, increased incidence of anemia, can go into heart failure. So when she delivers, she needs to be under skilled birth attendants. But if she doesn't have that, without sounding too medical or technical, increased maternal mortality or morbidity. So you see how it all ties up. It's so multifactorial. But again, let's be a little positive, like that jug is not, it's like about 3/4 full of ice instead of saying it's 1/4 empty. So we are being a little optimistic here. These are some of the triumphs. like the maternal mortality ratio was down from 240 in 2010, from 440 to 240 for the developing regions. This is according to the latest Millennium Development Report they had last year. There has been an increase in skilled birth attendance. Yes, there has been progress, but it is not enough. That is the biggest challenge we have. And then North Africa, it rose the skilled birth attendance ratio from 41 to 76, but even then, it's not even 90%. And then Sub-Saharan Africa, this was is really the sad part. From 40% in 1990, we all don't need to be mathematicians or economists to do that, to 41% in 2003. So you can see that in 13 years, it's been less than, it's only 1%. And Western Asia too. And this is from the Economic and Social Council of the UN, this data. So it's not made up, you know, it's not WikiLeaks, it's not something, but it's like really this report, which was the data which was compliant. So one of the things I just wanted to briefly talk about is in India, they launched this Surakshana Yojana, which really said that there was a conditional cash transfer for institutional delivery. So the institution benefited. So Suraksha Janani means mother in Sanskrit, and Suraksha is healthy, Yojana is a scheme. So basically it's to promote safe motherhood. So the government decided to transfer X amount of local currency to the institution when the women came for delivery, and these women also got some incentives. So this in certain pockets has addressed the issue of maternal mortality. So these are some of the stories. And then the other thing is that in Orissa, which used to have a really, thank you, it's nice to be at the receiving end, like being told your time is up now. So the chief medical officer, I just want to tell you that Orissa had very high rates of maternal mortality, but after these schemes, they realized that working in partnership at grassroots really helped to improve that. So these are some of the success stories which have really made a difference nationally and soon hopefully globally. And then, and the other thing is also, one of the success stories in India is it the number of deaths decreased, as you can see, 570 to 230, which is a decent reduction. Even then, it's not enough. Okay. Now, cell phones to improve MDGs. This is what I like. In Zanzibar, there's a concept of wired mothers. It's not that she's set up like she's an FBI person or something to listen into people and get information, but a wired mother is a mother who's a pregnant woman who's linked to the primary healthcare unit via a telecommunication network from the first antenatal checkup she goes to 42 days postpartum. She receives standard message reminders on her cell phone, and she has the capability of contacting the staff who works at the primary healthcare center. And let me tell you, you might be wondering, how do they get their money? There are programs which are donating cell phone cards to replenish the number of minutes for these women. And there is another program in Malawi, actually the owner of Coach USA, she has launched a program, Anglo, she's a Scottish woman, she's launched a program where these women are given cards, and when they get into labor, they just call the cell phone driver, on their cell phone, the bus driver, he comes to pick them up. So these are some stories which are really making a difference. And again, this has been a pretty level, simple intervention, but has got really great cost-benefit effects. And even back in New York, we have that text messages to pregnant women of low-income groups to come and, you know, get themselves checked up. And the last thing I just want to talk about is BRAC in Bangladesh, which has really made great inroads, where they're using the adolescent development program where mobile phones are used to share information, and it's brought down in the communities it was implemented, the adolescent pregnancy rate. So basically, in conclusion, the targets associated can be increased by increasing the rates of secondary education to girls. And let me just tell you, last week, the World Economic Forum launched the 2013 Global Gender Index. And one of the things is the gap has kind of reached has lessened for primary school education, but not for the secondary school education. So there's a big push to have more girls in the secondary schools so that it reduces teenage pregnancy. And also, we really need emergency obstetric care, comprehensive objective care, obstetric care, and also contraceptive access. And one of the things is to work with the local leaders and the religious leaders to improve contraceptive access. To get the message is that by giving contraceptives, we are not promoting promiscuity, but we are reducing maternal mortality, spacing pregnancies, healthier women, healthier children, and this is a local action but with a global effect. So these are my references.